I talked about on Monday my random encounter with random pop star of the aughts, Jesse McCartney. Ran into him at a bar, had enough liquid courage to just go say hi, and he was like the nicest dude. There was nobody really around him other than his wife and a couple buddies. And he just kind of wanted to talk. I told the story. And then I was reminded that he wrote one of the most popular songs of the 2000s that wasn't his song.
And you shared this info with me off the air. And I, again, that's like a music blind spot, like that era of pop. I wasn't into it.
He kind of came and went.
No idea who this dude is, but I think he's maybe the perfect level of celebrity now to where enough people know his body of work. Mm-hmm. He's not too terribly old, yet he can go to a bar in Bishop Arts and have random David Mino recognize him, but he's not totally beaten down by like paparazzi and hordes of people trying to get a piece of him.
And he's about a year or so older than me. I think he's 36, 37. I think he's at the point where he wants people to have a conversation with him and maybe bring up some of his hit music or just things and just talk football, talk Giants, talk Cowboys. But I was reminded he wrote this song from 2008. I forgot about this story. I'll play this from my computer here, Ham. So I think most of our listeners are probably familiar with this. This is Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
This is a guilty pleasure radio tune for me. I like this.
This song is a banger.
It's fine.
But this was one of the most popular songs in 2008. It was nominated for Record of the Year in the Grammys.
Yeah, back when 93.3 was a thing up here, I would hear this in the hallway all the time. There's nothing wrong with this.
And kind of a one-hit wonder, Leona Lewis. I couldn't tell you another song she did, but this one was everywhere.
Once she married Colby, she was all right.
Colby Lewis, yeah. So he had to get to the World Series in 2010.
Have a family.
So Jesse McCartney actually wrote this song.
Really?
And it was written by Jesse McCartney and the lead singer of One Republic, Ryan Tedder. This was set to be on McCartney's 2008 album, Departure. It was going to be his first single from that album. And the record companies heard it and said, I don't really like this one. Nah. McCartney and the dude from One Republic pushed back and they said, no, this is going to be a hit. The record company said, well, we don't like you singing it. There was this woman in England that just won the X Factor. Simon Cowell really likes this song. We want to give this to Leona Lewis. They said, okay, whatever. Give it to this woman we've never heard of before. And it goes on to be nominated for Record of the Year.
And this is like her song because this is her only real hit that still gets radio
play. I think it would be weird coming from a man, though. I don't know why.
Would you like to hear Jesse McCartney's version of this song?
Sure.
So this was set to be on his 2008 album. Time starts to pass before you know what you're frozen. The arrangement's different. Like, it is one of those, you hear it from Leona Lewis, and it's like, okay, this is a female song. It's about a dude. But you hear him, and it's like, it kind of go both ways. Like, I could hear this being a hit, but it doesn't hit the way that it does with Leona Lewis. It doesn't have the same voice.
Because this chorus part sounds overproduced, and he sounds a little washed out, where her version, you can really tell she's into it.
All right, let's go to...
Okay, real quick, though.
Yeah.
Is he making money on this song? Because usually you write the song, you get royalties.
He was the co-writer of the song, him and Ryan Tedder, so I would assume he's still making... He made a lot of money for the song. Like, he was credited at the Grammys for writing this song.
Interesting.
So after hearing that, I went down a rabbit hole of popular songs that were either written by other people or intended for other people to have those songs. And there are a ton of them. So let's go to Beyonce. I think you guys are familiar with this one. To the left, Irreplaceable. This would have been about 2007. Smash hit for Beyonce.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this song.
Oh, this song's a banger.
Yeah.
Is this on the Hambanger playlist?
Might be, yeah.
Another one that I hear, and it just feels like it's Beyonce. She did not write this song.
Is this clean?
I think the song is clean. Did you hear a cuss word?
I thought I did, but maybe not.
So, Ne-Yo wrote this song, who was a R&B singer around the same time, had a few hits.
Is it Ne-Yo or Ne-Yo?
It's Ne-Yo.
Okay.
Like from The Matrix. All right. Ne-Yo. But kind of like McCartney, kind of came and went, had a couple hits. So he actually wrote this song in 2007, recorded it, and I can play some of it here. To the left, to the left. This was the original demo from Ne-Yo. He wrote it, he was going to release it, but he thought it sounded too misogynistic because it's about, for Beyonce, it's about a woman breaking up with a man. He thought writing a song about a man breaking up with a woman and kicking her out of the house sounded a little sexist.
He wanted to keep all his stuff.
Yeah.
This is definitely a rougher recording.
Yeah.
Jack, so remove your bags, let me call you a cab. Standing in the front yard, telling me how I'm such a fool. Talking about how I'll never find another girl like you.
Changed man to girl.
You must not know about me. It feels like in songs or movies, whenever there's a breakup, it works better if the woman is kicking the dude out.
Yeah. Like, it's more...
But there's a lot of times where the woman is badass crazy, and you need to kick her out. So somebody needs to be on that hill, so I
change the locks.
Get out, sweetie.
Get out, sweetie.
That one line right there would have been weird from a man where he's like, I can get another you in a minute.
In a minute.
That sounds worse coming from a dude.
It sounds bad. And when it's Beyonce singing it...
It's irrationally confident.
Yeah. Like, it's a power ballad. Like, it's about... It's girl power, saying, I can do this without you. I can move on, get another one. And when it's a dude, it's like, yeah, whatever. Don't
honestly,
need you. Get you out of here.
That's the whole, like, I don't know, a thrust behind female pop music. It's very girl power.
Yeah.
Strength.
And a lot of those songs are written by dudes. Yeah. This next one, Rihanna's Umbrella.
Classic.
Remember this one? This banger on the Hams Bangers. So this song was written by a dude. His name was The Dream. I don't know if you're familiar with the name The Dream.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
Not Hakeem, but this dude wrote basically everything from 2007 through about 2014. He was the Phil Spector of the aughts without killing people.
Okay.
Like songs that you would get down to, The Dream wrote. He wrote Single Ladies. He wrote a bunch of songs for Rihanna. Wrote stuff for Kanye. Wrote stuff for Mariah Carey.
So he wrote the like most like Exhibit A girl power song ever? Single
yes.
Ladies?
Yes.
Awesome.
There's a video of him talking about writing that song in 15 minutes when he talked to Beyonce. He's like, hey, I got your first single.
You wrote it on a bar napkin?
Yeah, basically. Because it's another one, it's like, okay, a dude writing a song about a chick wanting to get married and, you know, maybe things aren't going right with the dude. The dude actually wrote the song. So, The Dream also, he had a few hits also, put out a decently popular album. He recorded the song first in a demo. This is what his sounds like. Also rougher. Definitely works better with Riri.
Yeah, he doesn't have like a, I don't know, full enough voice for this.
And he would always sing in
he
the...
He doesn't have the booty. Yeah.
In the falsetto. He actually has a song called Falsetto that he wrote.
I mean, like you said, he had his own hits.
He had some bangers, but I don't think he's known more publicly for writing all these songs, but... Like, his net worth is about $50 million for writing all of these hit songs.
Great life.
Yeah.
Great. Like, if you just wrote Single Ladies, like, that's enough. But he wrote everything you heard on the radio. This next one, also a banger. Everybody loves this song.
Oh, yeah.
This song just puts you in a good mood.
You roll the windows down. Do the dolphin hand out the window.
The hand dolphin.
This was on our training camp playlist when we were in Southern California.
Yeah.
It just feels like California.
It does. The daughters get hyped when this is on the radio.
So, of course, this is Miley Cyrus with her hit single, Party in the USA. Everybody loves it. Obviously, it's not written by Miley Cyrus. This song was written by Dr. Luke, another dude that wrote a bunch of pop hits. He wrote this song for a British pop star who was just getting into, kind of crossing over, trying to get mainstream in the United States. He wrote this song for Jessie J. Now, she had a couple big songs also.
Sounds like a birthday that Monty would read.
Jessie J, how many films she's been in.
Yeah.
She had a few songs, but this was written to be her first single. She listened to it, she recorded it, and she didn't like the vibe of it. She wanted things to feel a little darker, I guess. And
that
this
kind of makes more sense that Party in the USA would be for someone not from here.
Okay, so let me play you. Only about 28 seconds was available of her snippet of the recording. So here's hers.
That's not bad.
Hold on. So the original title of the song was I Think I'm Gonna Like the USA. It was about someone from England moving to the United States and, you know, a Jay-Z song. I'm at LAX. I'm in California. I think I'm gonna like it here.
Not in my head, like,
So she didn't like it. Dr. Luke still knew he had a banger on his hands, so he said, all right, Miley, I'm going to rewrite some of the words to you. We're going to change the title to Party in the USA. And then, boom, it becomes a huge hit that we're still jamming out in our cars to today.
Miley was so lucky that she got that, because I think you could give that to any big pop starlet or known quantity like she was at the time, and that would have been a massive hit.
Yeah, this paid for her salvia.
Right.
Like, if Jessie J would have taken this song,
I think
recorded
it, hit, yeah.
Like, would we be talking about Jessie J as a huge pop star?
Maybe not. It might be a Leona Lewis situation, okay, like we said. But I think for that moment, that would have been a chart topper.
I think it still sounded kind of cool.
Whatever.
It just sounded weird, the chorus. I think I'm going to like the USA.
That sounds kids boppy.
It did kind of sound like a kids bop
also
song.
Kind of, what if that was in the Borat movie?
USA. All right, there you go. There were some songs that were written by other musicians that weren't intended for those musicians, but they still recorded them anyway.
Got to work on the segment title, but I like that. That was fun.